The first few seconds of a cold call are absolutely critical because during those first few seconds, the person at the other end of that call is going to decide if they're going to allow you to continue or if they're going to send you to the land of the disregarded sales reps. So this week on the Sales Playbook Podcast, I thought we'd go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our upcoming course that's actually going to be launching this Wednesday, April 21st, How to Hunt for New Business More Effectively. I'm going to be talking about it at the end of the podcast, but I would strongly suggest that you go check this out ASAP because we're going to be actually ending registration shortly. Please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter for all the juicy details. So, on this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to be talking about the first few seconds of a cold call. And, you know, just to kind of put something at rest, a lot of the time, and it's usually other sales trainers I notice in the LinkedIn groups that have to show how much smarter they are than everybody else or whatever. God forbid you mention cold call, because then you get all these people that want to make it into a bigger deal than was originally intended. Now you got people defining the effing cold call. What is it? Well, you shouldn't be cold calling. And you end up by spending a lot of time in having just a completely bullshit conversation instead of just getting on with the point. So just to clarify things, you know, I'm saying cold call in a very universal sense, almost like you would say, like for a tissue, a Kleenex, or make a Xerox copy of something. You know, I'm doing it in that sense, all right? I don't want to get into defining the cold call, or you shouldn't be making cold calls, because we're just not going to get to the point. So, being from New York, we like to get to the point rather quickly. So, we're going to be talking about the first few seconds of a cold call, but we're going to be doing some cool things in terms of tactics that I want you to be aware of. And the reason why I want you to be aware of the tactics we're going to be talking about today is so that you'll be able to use them again, perhaps, and even apply them differently. So let me tell you about some of the tactics we're going to be doing today. So the first one, we're going to be talking about a skill or a tactic that I call dissecting. Like whenever I'm working with my coaching clients, we talk a lot about dissecting. And really what it is, it's just taking a skill like cold calling, which we're going to be talking about today, and breaking it down into these little tiny pieces that are necessary to help you become more successful on the phone. Now, just to let you know, we can use the same tactic of dissecting for other things besides cold calling. I mean, we could use it for closing. We could look at all the tiny things that go into your questioning skills, handling objections, negotiations, demos, etc. But today, we're going to talk about dissecting certain things, and in this case, the first few seconds of a cold call. All right, so that's the first one. The next thing, I have ripped off. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I'm fessing up with you guys that I've stolen this from really, you know, the mixed martial arts world. And if anybody who's ever taken martial arts, certainly those of you who have ever done boxing or have watched shows on how famous fighters have trained and all, there's something that they refer to as telegraphing your movements. And what this is really is that when your opponent can see what you're about to do. In other words, they can tell that you're about to throw a right, a left, a kick. And in this context, the person at the other end of the phone can see immediately that you're about to launch into a pitch. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that as well. And last but not least, we're going to be talking about something that we've talked about a lot on the podcast. I've written a lot about it over on yoursalesplaybook.com/blog, which you can find. I think we're up to 46 or 4,700 blog posts. I've actually been blogging, for those of you who are new to the podcast, since 2008. So it's just a ton of blog posts there. But we've been talking about it over there for a while, too. And it's this concept of a pattern interrupt. And what a pattern interrupt, first of all, it kind of begins with the idea that as human beings, we're creatures of habit and we're used to, you know, to certain patterns, if you will. So the person at the other end of the phone that we're calling is used to a certain trajectory of the call. And when we talk about pattern interrupts, we're talking about a way of really going off the script where it's almost like, hey, wait a minute. And their guard goes down. And when we want to have them lower their guard, it's not so we can clobber them. It's not so that we can dominate them. It's so that they would be more receptive to the message, because that's really what we want here. And so there you have it, right? I mean, and we're not into the, I feel like I'm whining. And there it is. I've given you jack shit this week. Now, I've got lots of things to talk to you about, but I just want you to be aware of the three skills: dissecting, telegraphing your movements, and this idea of a pattern interrupt. So this way, as we start to go through the first few seconds of a cold call and I reference them, you can say, oh, there it is. That's what that crazy bastard Castain was talking about. So let's begin here. So the first few seconds are critical when it comes to your cold call. Now, the reason why they're critical is because this person at the other end of the phone is going to make a decision within the first few seconds. Do I continue or do I cut this conversation short or do I wind it down? Or really, sometimes it's not, most of the time actually, it's not even a conscious decision. Sometimes it's just subconscious where it's just, yeah, it doesn't really interest me. And then they go into sort of a pattern, if you will. So our goal in the first 8 seconds. Now, before we continue, here we go again. I gotta just flag something here. I'm mentioning 8 seconds for a reason. And one of the things that I had read a long time ago, and it used to be one of the Paulisms, right? Now, Paulism is, my name is Paul, by the way, in case you guys didn't know. But a Paulism is something that I just beat to death. There's a lot of things here. Like many of you know, I love the word propinquity, right? I talk about that a lot in the sales context. Well, this stat or study, whatever, that I'm about to reference used to be a Paulism that I finally just let it retire. But there was this study, and it was done back in 2010-ish, right? And I can't imagine that it's improved any. But the attention span of the human race now is in at around 8 seconds. And it's actually kind of interesting because I remember reading or listening to, I think it was Sally Hogshead. And she was mentioning how the attention span of the human race about 120 years ago was closer to 20 minutes. Could you guys imagine living in a world that somebody can and would give you their undivided attention for 20 minutes? Now, you got to remember, 120 years ago, probably the most entertaining thing that could happen would be, you know, like cow tipping or some shit like that, right? I mean, there really wasn't a lot going on, right? The stagecoach wheel fell off or whatever. And, you know, we have a little thing called the interwebs now, where everybody is distracted and we have a lot of things going on. But in all seriousness, the person that you're calling has a limited attention span because you have to realize that you have interrupted them from doing something else. They have limited time. I think with the pandemic, they have limited resources. A lot of companies laid people off and they didn't come back. So you've got somebody doing the work of what? At least two other people now. At least one other person, but probably two, because I like to be dramatic like that. So we're interrupting them from doing something else. Now, let me just address something else before we really get into the meat potatoes here. That's another thing that irks me about a lot of sales trainers. There's a lot of sales trainers out there that will say, well, you really shouldn't look at it like interrupting them. That's the wrong way to look at it. Well, how the F else should I look at it? I mean, do you really think they're sitting around playing with the dinger on the cash register waiting for somebody to call and save them from that kind of nonsense? Or do you think they might be busy? I hope that I'm interrupting somebody. I don't mean it in the sense of being a dick. Like, let me interrupt this person. I don't mean it that way. But I really hope that I'm calling people that actually have stuff they're doing and they're busy and they have a busy business. Why? I don't know. Because then they probably have money and they probably are going to be sticking around long enough to become my client. But if they got nothing better to do, that could be a bit of an issue, right? So you have to realize that they're doing something else when we call. So when you're doing other things and you're busy and you're a decision maker, you have to make a very quick decision in the emails you get, certainly the phone calls you get. And the decision is this worth my time? So what we're going to do is dissect the call. You remember that? Dissecting the skill. And we want to dissect the call. And today, all we're going to do is just get to the part of the dissection, right? We're going to put on our lab coats and dissect the shit out of this call. But we're going to dissect the shit out of the very beginning of the call, the opening of the call. Your mission in the first 8 seconds, because remember, the attention span is really about 8 seconds. I maintain that it's probably less, right? So up to 8 seconds, our mission is to buy the next 8 seconds. So there's a couple of things that are typically done as call openers that many of you are doing. I know many of you are doing it because I train lots of yous guys. Right? I train a lot of you guys. Also, I'm on the receiving end because I own a business. So I know what people are saying out there. So what I want to do is go through some typical approaches. Now, again, I don't want to be that typical trainer where I'm sitting here whining and pissing and moaning like I got it all figured out. You know, I mean, it's real easy to complain about stuff. I am going to offer you a few alternatives. In fact, I've got at least, I think it's two or three alternative call openings for you. So first, I want to tell you some things that I don't really believe work. And I'll explain why in a second. So a typical cold call. Oh, and I have to say one other thing. When I'm reading some of these typical ones, if it sounds like, wow, he really kind of sounds awkward, like, does Paul really say this on the phone? I don't say it on the phone, and that's why I sound awkward. This is like, remember that scene in Tommy Boy, fat guy in a little coat? This is, and I am fat, by the way, and I'm getting into a freaking little coat here, and it doesn't fit me, so that's why it's going to sound awkward. I'm going to make no attempt to make this sound like awesome because I don't like it. It's very typical. So a typical call might go something like this. Hi, Jane. It's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. How you doing? Or how are you? Right? So now those are the first few seconds right there. I'm not doing the whole cold call. Remember, you might be thinking, well, where's the rest of the cold call? No, we're dissecting this right now. And we're in that first layer. And the first layer is going to be the call opening. So again, hi Jane, I'm calling myself. Hi, Paul. Whoa, Paul, how the hell are you? No, I'm calling Jane here. Hi, Jane, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. How you doing? Or how are you? Or how's it hanging, Jane? Whatever the hell you would normally say. Now, the reason why I'm not a fan of this is because it is extremely typical in the sense that this is how most cold calls open. And this is where that telegraphing your movements thing comes in. I believe that by starting a call that way and immediately asking, how are you? Now, you guys see it as courtesy, and that's fine. And maybe it's the New York in me, and we're all like, you know, nasty out here or something. I don't know. But the minute I start a call with, you know, hi, Jane, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. How are you? I believe that I'm telegraphing my movement. And that prospect now is conditioned because of other cold calls they've gotten that have begun that way. They are now bracing for a cold call, right? I also believe that it wastes the critical first few seconds. If I only have a few seconds, now again, you may see it as, but that is being polite. That is proper etiquette. See, I don't see it that way. I see it as the person at the other end of that phone is going to make a decision. And I really don't believe that somebody's going to decide to listen in the first 8 seconds because you asked how they're doing. Now, again, you might be thinking, well, you know, it's certainly not going to help you if you're rude. See, I don't think I'm being rude. You know, I didn't call Jane and say, hey, a-hole. Hey, shithead. Hey, you know, hey, bitch, you know, you haven't been returning my call. I'm not starting that way, right? I'm just kind of getting right down to it, which you'll see in a minute. So, but here's the thing with all of these things. If you disagree with me and you've been getting great results that way, okay, you know, continue doing it. I'm proposing some alternatives. So again, in that typical first approach, the reason why I'm not a fan of immediately, you know, identifying yourself and asking the question, how are you, is because I believe you're telegraphing your movements. They have been now conditioned because of other calls that have gone the same, you know, that had followed the same trajectory, that in the next few seconds is a pitch, right? Because that really is what most of us, you know, we're doing, and some of you are doing. So let me give you typical approach number two. Now remember, I'm not going to just sit here and complain about what I think sucks. I'm going to offer some different ways of opening your cold calls. Typical approach number two. It goes something like this. Hi, Jane. It's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and we blah, 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 blah. Right? Now that blah, 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 blah could be, you know, hi Jane, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. We're a full service training company. It could be anything like that. Again, I'm not a fan of this because it is typical. Remember, they get tons of calls. If they've been in that position for a while, they've gotten, I mean, what, thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of these calls. They all sound the same, and there's a lot of noise right now. And our job is also to stand apart, right? To stand out from the rest of the pack. The other thing, too, is that there's really no value in that first 8 seconds of that type of call. Why? Because you're actually leading with something that they really don't care about at that point, and that's you and not them. You know, when I'm, you know, hi Jane, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and then I start talking about how awesome we are, or the fact that, you know, I've trained all these sales reps and I work for Dale Carnegie, and, you know, I've been written up and here and there, you know, it just, I can't see how that's valuable to somebody in the first few seconds of a call. I mean, maybe in a demo talking about some of those things or whatever, or maybe later in the call. But for me to lead off with that, there's really not a lot of value in something like that. Let me give you now. Well, actually, let me give you a third typical type of actually, you know what? Screw that. No, let's get into this now. No more typical shit. Let's talk about like some alternatives here. So this next approach I've talked about before. This isn't going to be new territory for a lot of you guys that have been listening to me, but it's worth mentioning. Now, one of the things, you remember what I said before? There was no value in that last call because I led with something about me instead of their favorite subject. Their favorite subject in the first 8 seconds of a call is not me. It's actually them, and it's their world. That's what they care most about. And if you want to get their attention, talk about something that means something to them. So the phrase that we're going to be using in a minute is the following phrase. I call it the phrase that pays, right? Because I'm clever like that. And I like ripping off other used and abused cliches. So the phrase is, I noticed that. And the way I'm going to use I noticed that is I'm going to use my pre-call planning research, and I'm going to be looking for trigger events. A trigger event is something that's going on in their world that could lead to a higher probability of them needing our product or service. Okay, so it's something going on in their world. So an example of a trigger event could be a company that's hiring. Right? It could be a company that's relocating. If a lot of the marketing people who listen to this podcast, it could be you just noticed that they just redid their website, right? For those of you in printing, if you see something like that, well, definitely their collateral should, you know, match up with what they've done online with their digital footprint. So there's things like that. It could be things like mergers and acquisitions. It could be things like product launches. It could... you know, I'm going to mention another thing, but not necessarily. I would be very careful how you use this. But if you see a company that's just getting shitty Google review after shitty Google review or other online reviews, that could be something you could reference. But you could also reference the fact that you notice that they're getting really, really good reviews and you have a few ideas that might be able to help them sustain that type of credibility in their marketplace. So there's a lot of different trigger events that we could reference. But what I can do here now is when I find a trigger event is then I'm going to begin my call by saying I noticed that and telling them what I noticed. And I'm going to give you the example that I use for my business in a moment. But look at the difference between that typical approach when I start off by talking about me and my company and my widget and my training programs versus, first of all, showing them that I actually took the time to learn about them. I think that's kind of an important thing that we need to get out in the open here too. But I'm beginning now talking about something that's on their radar screen. Now, you got to remember something about trigger events. Most trigger events are going to be the kinds of things that the decision maker is involved in those discussions, especially when you start dealing with the C-level. They're usually, these are things that they're talking about in the boardroom, a lot of the executive team meetings, and even on the lower level too, because they have to implement certain things to address those trigger events that they're experiencing. So the alternative here, and my suggested phone script might be something like this. Hi, Jane. It's Paul Castain. And I noticed that, right? And I don't even have to just start with Paul Castain if you want. Hi, Jane. It's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. And I noticed that, and now I'm going to reference a trigger event. In my case, companies that have been hiring. So I could say, and I noticed that you guys have been hiring a lot of sales reps. Right? So now that statement isn't finished yet. There's something else that I usually do. Because remember, I'm only talking about the first 8 seconds here. But notice the difference again in that first 8 seconds between me starting off with, hi, Jane, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and we're a blah, 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 and I start spewing shit about my company versus me making that call about Jane. Hi, Jane, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I noticed that you've been doing a lot of hiring of sales reps lately. So right away, I am talking about something that they are dealing with right now. Okay, so there's a very, very big difference here. And again, this approach that we're using here is leading with something about them. And the phrase that we're using here is, I noticed that. So let me give you alternative number two. All right. Now, with alternative number two, we're going to use a tactic that I mentioned before called a pattern interrupt. Remember, a pattern interrupt is, you know, we're kind of coming from the point that they're used to a certain pattern from sales reps. The pattern being, hi, it's Paul Castain. You know, let me give you a sales pitch, right? Or hi, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. We're a full service, blah, blah, blah. Or hi, Jane, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. How are you today? Right? And then it's just like, there is a pattern there. So what we want to do, and oh, one other thing, for every pattern, it's basically like stimulus response, because the stimulus is us calling and following that same pattern. The response is them saying not interested, or that knee-jerk kind of an auto-eject, if you will, where they're saying, oh, well, we're all set, or, you know what, send me your information, or, yeah, you know, we have no budget for it, or whatever. And they're just kind of getting you the hell off their phone as quickly as possible. So with this pattern interrupt, there's a lot of different ways that you can interrupt a pattern. And remember, we're basically going off the script. We're not going to follow the script. We're doing something off script that gets them off guard, kind of stuns them. Again, not so we could zing them, not so we can dominate them and own them. It's really so that the guard is down, so that they're open for a dialogue. Because that's what we want here. We're not looking to, you know, to kick the shit out of somebody on the other end of the phone. We're simply trying to engage them and get them to engage back. That is the goal here. So with this next one, we're going to use a pattern interrupt. And before I told you, you know, when I was mentioning before, we have a phrase, right? I noticed that. Well, now you're going to add another one to it. You're still going to use I noticed that, but now you're going to add a new thing. You ready for this? You're going to start off, and I'll tell you where we're going to use it in a minute. Here's another phrase for you. Quick question. I want you to imagine for a minute, if even in New York, where people are nut jobs, and I say that lovingly, you know, like the way you talk about your own family. I live in New York. And I know it's a big shock, this accent. You guys all thought I was from the South, right? Or from France or some shit. No, I'm from New York. I've always lived here. And sometimes I say coffee. And sometimes my family thinks, you know, like I've sold out because I say coffee, right? And I don't know. But anyway, the world keeps spinning. So what we're going to do, the experiment that I was going to say, I mean, if you really want to get somebody's attention one time, watch how most people respond. Even people who don't know you, when you go, you look at them and you go, quick question. They're going to almost, like, some of them will, like, you know, raise their eyebrows like, shoot. Or some of them will say, shoot. It's really a stimulus response situation. And we've been really conditioned throughout time when somebody says, quick question, to just, you know, even if we don't respond to them, our body language is, yeah, talk to me, man. Right? So that's what we're going to do here. So what we're going to, here's kind of the suggested script. Hi, Jane, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. Quick question. Now, inside of 8 seconds, I've interrupted the pattern, because one of the ways that you can do a pattern interrupt is by asking a question. Now, before I give you the rest of that little script and that little opening, I want to just throw a couple things out at you about questions, all right? Questions also help you gain control of a situation without being controlling. I maintain that the person asking the questions is usually in control of the dialogue. Now, again, we're not using this for evil here. We're not looking to manipulate people. I do believe there's a huge difference between controlling the situation and being a controlling individual, right? It's like control a situation without being controlling or manipulative or sleazy. So it's going to help you regain control. Questions also inspire dialogue, because we are actually going to ask them a question. And also, too, it breaks the pattern. And the pattern that it's breaking is the pattern of the auto-eject, I refer to it as. The pattern of the auto-eject. And this is where I get to show my age, because there used to be these things called cassette players, children. And your Uncle Paul here, right, talking about myself in the third person, used to have them. And there used to be a thing on there, you know, auto-eject, and it just kind of stops playing, and just the tape pops out, right? Or, like, you could put the little eject button, and that's the end of that. But I really believe that a lot, in fact, most of the decision makers we call have their preferred auto-ejects. For some, it's, we're all set. Thanks anyway, but we're all set. Others, it's not interested. Other people, I'm under contract. Other people, they're using the pandemic. Call me back after the pandemic. Right? That kind of thing. Hey, and there's even these auto ejects around the holidays, right? Where they're, yeah, call me back after Christmas. We're coming up on summertime. And right here in the U.S., we're coming up on summertime. I mean, we're coming up on summertime. It's April, for God's sakes. But in my heart of hearts, I'd like to think I'm going to be camping soon, enjoying a bourbon, sitting there shirtless, offending a lot of people with my man boobs. I mean, you know, in my heart, it's almost... But yeah, we're going to be coming up on summer one of these effing days. And the deal is, you're going to have a lot of people saying, yeah, call me back after summer here in the U.S. Call me back after Labor Day. Hell, they'd even say to you, they'd even give you an auto eject, some of these people. Call me back after Groundhog Day, right? It's their way of getting you off the damn phone. But the question interrupts the pattern. So the way this call might go... Hi, Jane. It's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. Quick question. I noticed that you've been hiring a bunch of new sales reps. How long does it typically take for you to get them ramped up? So do you see what I've done? In the first few seconds, I've interrupted the pattern. I haven't followed the typical trajectory of a call. I am not sitting there telegraphing my movements, right? I'm doing something different. I am using the pattern interrupt, and the way that I'm using it is by asking a question and going off of, you know, I'm not using the typical script. Now, the minute they answer that question, we are now engaging, and that is a very different call than us pitching. A one-sided pitch is not going to, you know, stand a chance against a dialogue. I would even take a shitty dialogue over a pitch where somebody's just sitting there and, you know, playing, okay, entertain me, circus boy, right? Or circus girl. So that's what you're doing there. You're doing a pattern interrupt. Let me give you a third alternative. And this one, I'm probably going to screw this up, folks. I ripped this one off. I think, and this is like a year ago that I saw this on LinkedIn. I think it was the folks at Lead IQ that came up with this. But... And again, if I sound a little awkward reading it, it's because I really don't use this one too much, but it doesn't mean that you guys can't do it. And I think it illustrates an amazing pattern interrupt here, because we said before that you can use a question to interrupt a pattern. Another thing that you can do is you could use kind of something funny and conversational, tastefully funny, by the way, and conversational to interrupt the pattern. So in this case, we could do something like this. Hi, Jane. It's Paul Castain. How's everything? Now, I've intentionally eliminated the name of my company. And the reason why, the name of my company has training in it. And the last thing I want Jane to do when I call her is, you know, training. I don't need any stinking training, right? So I don't want to, again, you know, do that tactic where they're seeing my movements, where I'm telegraphing what I'm going to do next, because if I'm calling from Castain Training Systems, I don't know. Let me go out on a limb. Maybe I'm going to talk to you about like buying some training from me. So right away, she might decide in that split second, it's easier to tell me she doesn't need any training than actually hear me out. So in this case, hi, Jane, it's Paul Castain. How's everything? Now, whether Jane answers or not. I mean, it'd be pretty effing rude not to like just stand like I'm not going to answer you, dipshit, right? She's going to answer me. So, but it's just a matter of, is she going to return the question, right? Like, I'm fine. How are you? Most people do, even in New York. Again, where they're nasty bastards here. They're going to do that too. So, something like this. Hi, Jane. It's Paul Castain. How's everything? Now, let's say Jane says, you know, I'm fine. How are you? And meanwhile, she's wondering, who the hell is this guy? Right? Now, what I'm going to say is something like this. You know, all's well is here. You know, all is well is here. That sounds like I did a couple of bourbons since the last alternative script I gave you. You know, all's well here, still working from home. Hey, but at least my dog loves the companionship. Anyway, mind if I take your mind off of things for a few seconds with this cold call? So look at that approach right there. Again, it sounds awkward because I really don't use it, but I loved it, right? And just because I don't use it doesn't mean it's not good. It's just, you know, sometimes we go suit shopping and I'm not going to look too good in that. And you know what? I'm a rather heavy set guy, which is French for pretty effing fat. And, you know, a skinny tie is not going to work on me, but it might look dynamite on you, being that you were at the gym taking selfies of how freaking awesome you look while I'm sitting here stuffing my face with devil dogs and shit. So, you know, again, it goes like this. Hi, Jane. It's Paul Castain. How's everything? I'm fine. How are you? Well, all's well here. Still working from home. But hey, at least my dog is loving the companionship. Anyway, mind if I take your mind off of things for a few seconds with a cold call? What's really neat about that is that we're making no, you know, excuses about this call. We're putting the cards on the table. We're fessing up. And reminds me of this movie Steve Martin was in with, Sarah Jessica Parker. And I think they were going through a divorce or whatever. And she just came right to him and said, you know, hey, listen, you know, I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce. And his response was, which I thought was hysterical, he goes, this is how I find out. You tell me? And I thought it was pretty damn funny. But in this case, it's like, this is how we find out. You actually own up to the fact that you're cold calling us? Yeah, because you know why? It's a pattern interrupt. And people aren't used to the directness and the honesty and the levity because we've put a little bit of humor into it. So with this whole pattern interrupt thing, we can use a question. We can use a little bit of tasteful humor in there. Now, we're not going to do it today, but we could use a shocking statement. That's another way that we can do a pattern interrupt. So there you kind of have it, folks. We're talking, or today we discussed the whole, you know, first 8 seconds of a cold call thing. And we talked about a few different techniques, if you remember, right? The first technique, or really in no particular order, we talked about really dissecting the cold call. Now, today, we only dissected the first few seconds of the call, and I believe we kind of dissected it even within the dissection, if you will. Try to get your brain around that. We're going rapid fire here, folks. We also talked a little bit about telegraphing your movements. Like, for example, and you may disagree with me, and that's fine, because I also know there's different regions of the country where it's probably rude not to ask how you doing, right? But up here in New York, man, people like to get to the point, and it's not just a New York thing. I'm seeing it throughout the country now more than I did 15 years ago when I was talking about how I felt that asking, you know, how are you at the beginning of a call could really, you know, show somebody, oh, okay, this is a cold call. So telegraphing your movements, we don't want to do it. We talked about the concept of a pattern interrupt. We also talked about trigger events, right? A trigger event is something going on in your prospect's world, also your client's world, by the way, that could lead to a higher probability of them needing your product or service. Now, one of the things that you could do as a homework assignment is on your own, think about the things that would represent trigger events in your industry and in your client's world that would lead to a higher probability of them needing your, you know, product or service. And then what I want you to do is go to your sales team, teach them this concept. And the reason why I want you to teach it to them is that the best possible way for you to learn something is to have to teach it to other people. And then kind of brainstorm with them. And then when you're doing your pre-call planning research, you can look specifically for trigger events. Those are going to really help you out. Once you do that, now you can change up some of the different openings that you're doing in your calls. So what I wanted to talk to you about very, very quickly, right? I mean, obviously work on these things and all, but the clock is ticking. We have a course coming up. And the last time I said this, I think it was a year ago when the pandemic first began. And I'm going to say it again right now. You really need to be in this course. Most sales reps that I meet, even the ones who have been at it a long time and really think they have a firm handle on sales, really need to sharpen up on their prospecting skills. It is so important that we continue to get in front of opportunities. And this course that we've put together, it's called How to Hunt for New Business More Effectively. And what the course includes, first of all, We're going to be obviously talking about the phone. We're going to be talking about email. We're going to be talking about snail mail and creative ways to get in front of people. We'll be talking about LinkedIn. I'll even be touching a little bit on text messaging because we're starting to see that platform really pick up a lot more momentum than even just 2 years ago. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. I've included a lot of really cool extras. Of course, there's going to be templates. There's going to be phone and voicemail scripts. There's also going to be suggested cadences. What do I mean by suggested cadences? Where I give you an outline and we'll say something like touch number one. And I'll say something, for example, well, you know, call them, right? And use the following script. Okay, if you end up in voicemail, use the following voicemail script. Wait X amount of time, then touch number two. Touch number two, who knows? It might be over on LinkedIn, might be snail mail, whatever. But I'm writing out what to say, when to say it, and what method to use. In other words, what platform that you should use to communicate the whole message. But the other thing, and this is incredibly timely, today is April 18th. I'm going to be pulling the plug on two extras in this program within the next 24 to 48 hours. Let me tell you what, well, one thing really isn't an extra, but let me start with the extra. One of the extras is I'm going to be giving you an accountability partner. One of my biggest beefs with a lot of courses out there is that people will learn the material, but they don't really learn the material because they don't have a chance to apply it. I'm going to be partnering you up with someone else taking the course, and you're going to hold each other accountable. I'm going to give you an outline of just kind of how you can hold each other accountable, how you can have a call and just kind of check in with each other, make sure that you're doing the assignments that we have in the class. And also too, it never hurts to have another contact out there. And to me, if you're a person who values learning, meeting someone else who also is going through the course that values learning is just so, so valuable. The other thing that we're going to be pulling the plug on soon is, and actually I'm going to be pulling the plug on the registration, because you might be thinking, okay, that's just a marketing thing, or Paul is the biggest asshole on the planet. Now, I might be the biggest asshole on the planet. The jury's still out on that one. I'm going to be 56 and we still haven't figured out if I am in fact an asshole. But the reason why I'm going to have to pull the plug on registration soon is because I have an extra in here that I'm just not going to be able to have much more people go into the course. We've had a lot of people sign up for this, more so than the course that we did on how to sell through the pandemic. And we just have a ton of people going in. And after every session right now, we have a homework assignment. And it's a homework assignment where you're going to get individualized feedback from me. And the only time I've ever allowed that to happen, aside from when we had the pandemic course, was just really in my one-on-one coaching. That's something they get in that one-on-one environment. But I just figured right now is a time when you guys need all the help you can get. So I threw that extra in, but I'm not going to be able to keep it in there much longer. I'm going to have to remove that idea of the homework assignments. And the only way I can do it is by killing the registration soon, because we're almost at max. And then the other thing is that there is a team option here that's going to be going away no later than the 19th, which is tomorrow. And with the team option, what happens with a lot of these courses is that sales managers would love to put you guys in there, but they have budgets. And when they start, in this case, this course is only $299. And considering that there are four sessions, two bonus sessions, a shit ton of templates, the individualized feedback, the accountability partner, right? That's pretty damn good, right? That's very, very reasonable what we're charging for it. But what happens is, if a sales manager has even 10 people, well, shit, that's like $3,000 and we can't afford that. Or what if you have 50 people, right? $15,000. And, you know, some of the teams even have 500 people. So what I've done is I've put an option in there that if you want to put your entire sales team in, I really don't care if you want to come here and call my bluff and say, Paul, we've got 50,000 salespeople. I'm only going to charge you one flat rate for the team, and it's $999. So again, you can go in individually for $299. You can put the entire team in for $999. And the benefit of putting the whole team in there is that there's some extras that I'll be doing there for your sales manager, telling your sales manager about things they could be discussing with you to reinforce some of the skills. I'm even going to give some ideas for sales meetings. And then we also throw in a free 30-minute conference call for your entire sales team. So again, I've done everything here for you, but close the damn sale for you, like where I'm going to go and pick up the phone and make the call for you and close the deal. So if you'd like to learn more, really the time for procrastinating has passed. If you want the extras and you actually believe that, you know, it's kind of important to invest in yourself, please immediately go to yoursalesplaybook.com/sellbetter, all lowercase, all one word, yoursalesplaybook.com/sellbetter. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Sign up for our free sales tips by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.